Welcome to Popternative, where we dive into topical discussions from the worlds of pop culture, social media, and sports. Here is your host, Peter Remoliotis, a.k.a. PD Beats.
Hello and welcome to the Popternative Podcast. This is the podcast where we have digital discussions in the worlds of pop culture, social media, and sports. We have a special one-on-one episode for you sponsored by CSC Games. I am speaking to one of the stars of Killjoys, a hot show on space in Canada and sci-fi in the U.S. She plays Lucy. I'm talking to Tamsin McDonough. Tamsin, welcome to Popternative.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
No problem. We're happy to have you. Congrats for all the success with Killjoys. It's fantastic to see on social media everyone supporting the show, and people seem glued to their TV screens every time it comes on.
We have the best fans. They're so great. They're supportive and keen and excited, and they end up trying to think of all kinds of, they predict all kinds of storylines and character development. It's great. They get really involved and makes it really fun and easy for all of the cast and crew to get involved with them, because they're, you know, so much fun. So
talk about how it came to be that you were going to play Lucy. I mean, take us through that. I mean, you know, standard, like you auditioned, I'm guessing, right?
Yeah. I mean, so just for people who don't know Killjoys yet,
yes.
I'm sure after this episode, they will all be watching.
Yeah.
Lucy is the AI spaceship who has quite a bit of personality and quite a crush on Johnny, who's one of the lead guy, who's also her tech and so on, even though she is not owned by Johnny. She's owned by Dutch. So I actually had moved. I'm in Toronto, and it shoots in Toronto, and I'd moved out to Vancouver. All my family's out there. And, of course, very quickly after I moved out to Vancouver, I get the call for this audition in Toronto. So, but we were able to do it all via online. So I just auditioned. It was also supposedly, I hope I'm not quoting wrong, but supposedly they really liked what I had done on another show called Lost Girl. The character was very snarky and very sassy and but very flirty at the same time. So they really liked that, and they said, can you kind of do what you did there? So, and I love that character. So it was very easy just to kind of roboticize. It's a word. We'll work with it. roboticize the voice. And the fans have just, they love, I think they mostly love the relationship between Johnny and Lucy, and that it's this, you know, it's almost a boy and his dog, but it's, you know, kind of different. Mm-hmm. The fans and the writers kind of got excited and wrote an entire episode where she comes to life. She gets, her consciousness gets downloaded into a robot, a fembot. So that was really fun.
Yeah, and we don't want to spoil it for anyone, but you know, just seeing what's happening this season on Killjoys, and there's been a lot of, I wouldn't say, you know, changes, but there's been a lot of character evolutions and character progressions throughout. And it, you know, I know you can't speak for anyone else in the cast, but I definitely see, whenever you see a show at every season, even if it's an indirect or direct change, there is going to be a little bit of a different feel from a character. Maybe they're in a different situation, you know, that... So they're always going to be that. Do you find that as an actress, you know, on a TV show especially, because movie it's different, but every season, even though you're the same character, it's going to have a different feel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this season, you know, they're barely on the ship. Yeah. So... Lucy has definitely taken a smaller role because they're just not on the ship. They're out waging war. They're on different planets. They're bouncing around. So she's around. She's always there, but, you know, she's more just sort of in watch mode. But they're not on the ship, so there's not as much communicating with her. And the stakes are higher for all the characters. So there's, you know, there's still the wonderful banter and all the goofy jokes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a heaviness to everything this season, which is pretty cool. It's great to see. you know, delving into things. And, you know, there's a bit of a, I think, a social statement as well, you know, yeah. with everything that's going on that, you know, clever writers, and these guys are very clever, are tapping into. So it's, they're just clever, clever, clever beasts.
And what I like too is, you know, there's a lot of shows, there's a lot of shows out there from the sci-fi genre that are taking off. It's obviously a huge industry. Every year it is, you see it. It's getting bigger and bigger. I think social media is a big part of that too. We'll get to that later. But what I think is hitting stride with Killjoys, Tabzin, and I'm sure you're going to agree with me, is, yeah, there's a lot of shows on, you know, sci-fi and space and Netflix that are in the sci-fi genre, but none of them, well, not all of them are maybe specifically about or take place in space.
Right. Yeah.
Killjoys is space, space, space. So it has space, that space. Nostalgic feel. People that are used to watching Star Trek and Star Wars, like, yeah. it hits that perfectly. It's about space, nothing but space.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're bouncing around all different. There's the quad, and then they've now started to push beyond the boundaries of that. And you look at Anila Shipp, which is just, these special effects guys and girls have done an amazing job. This creepy, nasty looking kind of, to me, it looks like the jaws of something is floating around through space. It's this terrifying ship. And then you get cute little Lucy bouncing around. So it's so cool to see, you know, any of their space fights and chases and moving through asteroid fields. So there's some really cool sort of nods to Star Wars a lot. I haven't watched a lot of Star Trek, I admit. I'm a Star Wars person. So I love seeing the nods to Star Wars all the time. And just sort of, I think, really respecting the fans, knowing that this is something they really enjoy and, you know, working with that and having fun with it and sometimes turning it on its head, which I really like too, you know, taking a trope and spinning it.
No, it's, there's just, but I got that from it. Because, you know, there's a lot of shows that have part, like, are about paranormal activity or about wizardry. And they're great, you know what I mean? But yeah. This is space.
Yeah, if that's what you're looking for, this is the place to go. And it's, a lot of people have compared it to Firefly. And, you know, nothing will ever be Firefly. But there's some really cool parallels between the two. And I think that, you know, that was a series that did not have enough time in the sun. It got off the air way too soon. And a lot of it left a real hole that people were like, oh, we need something like that. And so this isn't that, but I think it helps to fill that void a little bit. And so people were ready for it and salivating for it. So
did you do that on purpose? Didn't have enough time in the sun? Or was that just a coincidence, Firefly?
Oh, that was a coincidence. Why? What was the...
No, because you said that show didn't get enough time in the sun. It's called Firefly Flames, so I just thought...
you're right. Got it. No, I did not. Yes, I did. I'm that clever. Yeah, totally.
And I had a few months ago, I had Katie Ullman and Trish Rainoni on my show. They do a web series called My Roommate's an Escort. Yeah, and someone that was on that, her name's Natasha Bromfield. She's also in Killjoys as well, reoccurring character. She plays Borna.
Borna, oh, great.
So, and she was, I was talking to her offline about Killjoys as well a couple of months ago when I was doing the show with My Roommate's an Escort. And she was saying the social media following just every day, not even every week, like just goes up for Killjoys. Like it's cemented itself as a big fan base on social media.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they're really good. They, you know, not only are they working with great storylines and created these amazing characters. And like I said, really working with tropes and not just to turn them on its head for the sake of turning them on its head, but because it makes sense and because this is 2017 and, you know, you have men, there's clever men and women on these teams who are putting together this great stuff. And so I think that it's really striking a chord with so many people, you know, and it hits a lot of buttons. It hits action, adventure, comedy, drama, relationships, siblings, and all kinds of relationships too, like sibling relationships, men and women being friends, you know, it's just so many relationships that everyone can relate to something that's going on here.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're we're living in a world now, you know, where every day, you know, there's tragedy, and you know, there's so much wrong in the world right now. And you know, I think television has every year been kind of like an escape, you know what I mean? Escaping yeah. from the reality. And social media is becoming like an extension of that, like an extension of that escape. And I think they go hand in hand, because there's a term called dual viewing, second screen consumption, where you see it all the time with Killjoys, because an episode of Killjoys goes on and people are live tweeting and checking mm-hmm. out their phones while they're doing that. And I see a lot of the cast members, they're tweeting out things during the episodes.
That's true, yeah.
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, because it's our baby. Like, everyone so enjoys this and we're so invested in it because of the fans. And so it's not, what did you call it?
It's dual viewing. It's second screen consumption. This is my master's in communication speaking, because I did a whole study on that. But yeah, second screen consumption.
I think that it's, so when you get, you know, cast and crew and fans all tweeting together, mm-hmm. it creates not just a passive watching a show and letting it flow over you. You not only have to think about it more because you want to make a comment about it, you're connecting with people at the same time, and not just cast and crew, you're connecting with other fans.
Yeah.
So you get people making predictions online and comments and you know, getting upset or throwing in their opinions or, you know, all these kinds of things. So it becomes a very, it's not so passive anymore. It becomes an experience that you can really take a part in. However, you know, to whatever extent you'd like. And so I think it's really an experience now, instead of just letting it wash over you. So I think it's a really cool thing. And I think sci-fi has done it the best out of anybody.
Yep.
No, for some absolutely. Reason. I don't know why sci-fi.
It's yeah. true. They do a really good job. And it's also, it's like something more to look forward to. It's like, oh, now we don't have to just look forward to a new episode of Killjoys. We can look forward to all the content that's going to happen online during exactly. the episode, right?
Yeah, like, you get people talking about, you know, like, I remember especially first season, it was all margaritas. You know, everyone's going to shake down some margaritas and we're going to do this and that and talking about the snacks they're going to have and who's going to be viewing with them. And it's this very cool event. Instead of just turning on your TV and watching a show you happen to enjoy.
Oh, I love that concept of it being an event. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Points for Tamsin.
Yay.
And so, you know, but like you're like many, you know, you are an actress that has worked on, like, you have a lot of projects on the go all the time. Now you're focusing on mm-hmm. Killjoys. Do you find sometimes, like, for example, Killjoys is like the main project you're working on right now, correct?
Yeah.
Do you find it hard sometimes to balance it when you have so many projects on the go? Or were you never in that position and you were kind of just like...
No, I mean, I would like to be more in that position. All okay. actors are always, you know, hoping to be, you know, so busy. It's kind of a nice balance in that I feel like I can give enough time to each character and each show, but it's not overwhelming. Like I said, knock on wood, who knows, you know? It's at a nice del roar. It's enjoyable. So, and I'm very lucky in that I tend to get cast in very diverse roles. So it's really easy to switch up between characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're so different. I don't tend to keep, I don't tend to hit the same type of character all the time. So it's easy to go, oh my goodness, okay, so I'm a psycho killer in that, I'm a spaceship in this, and I'm a crackhead in this, and you know, so it's fun and easy to switch between them.
That's interesting, because I had a conversation with Ronnie Blevins. He's an actor, he's in the new Death Wish with Bruce Willis that comes out, the remake of that, and he was in a bunch of other shows as well, and he always plays like he's saying the opposite of you. Like, he always plays the villain. Like, everything he plays is the villain, and he says sometimes it's a completely different villain.
Right,
like it's
right.
a very calm villain, or it's a very like eccentric villain.
Right.
But he's always playing a villain. So mm. I always find it really interesting to talk to actresses and actors like yourself and like Ryan, to kind of get your different perspectives on how you take it, because that's why I made this show. I want to have conversations that you know, you have to watch Popternative to check out this conversation. Like, you have to find out, if you want to know about how Tamsin balances her life as an actress, you got to find out Popternative, the behind the scenes access, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, no, I just find that really interesting. And when you say diverse, do you ever play, like, have you ever played a villain in something?
I'm trying to think. I played, Psycho, a sociopathic type person, and I'm going out for something on Monday where she's, oh my goodness, she starts beating her children with a whip. Like, not a nice person. Yeah. So we'll see if I book that.
Diverse right there.
Yeah, right there, just while wearing a
chair. Robot spaceship, and then that.
Yep. So it's, and yeah, some people it's, you know, and I don't know if it's better to have something, a niche that you're really good at, that people know you for and people come to you for that. Or is it better to, you know, be diverse and to have all these things and get put out for anything? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm just going with what cards I'm dealt, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's enough points for Tabs, the cards you're dealt. You're killing it today.
Let's hope.
Yeah. And you mentioned that, you know, there are a lot of actors and actresses out there, and the point is, you know, to get as much work as possible. So I want to know, from your perspective, because you've had a lot of success and you're working very hard. I'm very happy to see that your hard work is paying off. I ask this when I ask, you know, my guests, I ask, like, athletes, sportscasters, actors and actresses the same question. Like, people that are interested in, you know, or studying in school, you know, acting or working on camera. From your experience, is there something, is there a specific, you know, tip or advice from your past experience that you can give someone that's looking to kind of start acting, or maybe you don't want to because that's more competition?
No.
Like, some people ask me sometimes about, you know, give me tips about podcasting. And I'm like,
right.
Okay, I will. But at the same time, you know, I'm creating more competition. So,
Right.
But yeah.
I mean, the community is pretty, I find anyway, it's pretty supportive, to use that absolutely. Sort of word. Yeah. And so everyone just kind of, because, you know, if you're not booking, it's not because of someone else. It's because of you, or you weren't right for the role or something like that. You can't blame other people.
Yeah.
That's one of the tips, basically, I would say, is that 99% of the time, it's not personal when you don't get something. It's auditions are something, you know, it's a part of our lives, and it's, you know, it's putting, you know, a word on it. It's rejection each time you don't get it. And so, a friend of mine who's a big actor in LA, he was saying that work is doing the audition. That's the job. That's the J-O-B part of it. And you go in and then you walk out and you drop the audition at the door and you forget about it. And then, you know, if you book it, you're like, oh my goodness. Okay. What one was that one? Great. Okay. Excellent. And then you, you know, relook at it and go back to it, but you can't hang on to things. You can't hang on to thinking, oh, that casting director doesn't like me. And, you know, I wish I could get that audition. You go in, you do the audition, you walk out and you're done. You do, you know, it's as good a job as you can do. You put in a lot of work and a lot of time, and you really, that's the job part of it. It's not, oh, I just learned my lines and walk in there. So it's a lot of work that people don't really realize, I think. And you have to be willing to put in the work, and it's a high risk, high reward, job or career, you know?
And I remember, and this could also, I mean, being able to and being willing to kind of move as well, because that's a bit different.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit different. I mean, well, imagine, no, it's not, because you started the show off saying that you moved for the show.
Come back to Toronto to shoot it.
Yeah, exactly.
I came back for 3 or 4 months to shoot it, and then I ended up moving back anyway, but... Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to be able to, you know, if you know you're going to be shooting for 4 months or 6 months or, you know, in Czechoslovakia, you have to be okay with picking up your life for, you know, 3 to 6 months. Something I enjoy, you know, a bit of a bohemian kind of, you know, gypsy lifestyle. But it can be hard on some people. So, you know, to have stability don't be an actor. It is it's an unstable, but you know, can be very rewarding. So you just sort of just go in with your eyes wide open. Don't think, take things too personally, and do your job. Be professional.
Well, that sounds good. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to wrap up. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I have one last question.
Okay.
So, you know, if people go on your IMBD, when you're not playing Lucy, you're not a character, you look like, one could make an argument, you know, you don't, like, Lucy is completely, like, you sent me snapshots for promo, and I watched the show, and sometimes you're arguably unrecognizable sometimes as Lucy.
As the bot?
Yeah, like, I mean, the
bot?
Yeah, as the bot.
Well, yeah, it's a wig, and my face, I think that's why I book diverse characters, is that my face is, without makeup, it's pretty much non-existent. Okay. There's no features, there's no color in my face. I'm a redhead, so it's completely whitewashed. You can paint on whatever features you want, basically. So, you know, various roles. I was a crackhead one time, and people thought I was a crackhead. They actually thought they had pulled something off the street, which is, you know, a big compliment. You know, and then, you know, I think a week later I was on Incredible Hulk as you know, this conservative, you know, held, very held together professor, you know. So you just can kind of paint it on my face. And so, yeah, people often don't recognize when they see me as whatever. They're like, oh, that's not you. Yeah, no, I'm just showing you pictures of another person. Yeah.
So are you, that was my question then. Are people recognizing you on the streets of Toronto? Like, oh, it's Lucy.
No, I mean, I don't tend to wear a lot of makeup just walking around. So I'm not recognizable when I do put makeup on. I'm very, like I said, picture to picture, people often ask me, is that you? Like it's my features change drastically depending on the part I'm playing, the picture that's being taken. So yeah, I don't get recognized a lot. It does happen here and there, but it's not. No, it's great. It's nice. it happened when I was at Fan Expo. People started to catch me all the time because I was, you know, with makeup and my picture was hanging, you know, all over the place, so people could recognize me. But on the streets, it's nice. You just kind of do your own thing. It's good.
No, absolutely. Well, where could people follow you on social media?
I'm best on Twitter. I'm trying to get better with Instagram. I will. I promise. But Twitter is at Red Tamsen, RedTamsen. And that's the same for Instagram. Yeah, I'm on Facebook a little bit, but not really. So,
yeah. Great. Well, Tamsen, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And again, congrats of all the success with Killjoys, and we'll be checking out the tweets of the show, and we'll be watching the show.
Yeah,
absolutely. It's like I said, I'm a huge space fan. Like on Instagram, I follow NASA, and for people who don't follow NASA on Instagram, shame on you. It's probably the coolest account on Instagram out there, because they're always posting cool high def videos and space and photos. Like it's amazing.
I follow them on Twitter, but I didn't even think to follow them on Instagram.
Their Instagram is amazing.
Yeah,
and you have to follow my dog Little Leo the Murky on Instagram as well, because he has a pretty big following on there.
Oh no way!
He's got about 160,000 followers on there. So.
Oh, well, hit me up on Instagram.
Yeah.
As your dog, yeah.
Yeah. It's true. Everyone keeps freaking out sometimes that, like, they look at the account and they're like, you know, there's always these dog pet accounts. So, bonus question. What do you think about that? What do you think about people making accounts for their pets and their children? Like, people make accounts for their babies. What do you think about that?
The kid stuff. I'm a dog person, so it's not, you know, it's nothing I would ever follow is the kids stuff. That almost seems to me, you know, these are little people who may not want their pictures out there later in life, you know, but you know, the dogs, they're never going to care. And dog puts a smile on my face every single time I look at a picture of a dog. So, you know, you were talking about the world not being in, you know, there's ups and downs going on, and you look at some great pictures of a dog, and you follow these cute accounts. I'd say 80% of the accounts I follow are animals and, and nature stuff, just because every time it puts a smile on my face. So
great. No, absolutely. Yeah. That's great. But yeah, thank you so much, Tamsin. Yeah. And all the best in the future.
You too. And I'm sure we'll chat on Twitter.
Of course we will. And you can catch previous episodes of Popturnative on YouTube, on SoundCloud and iTunes. Be sure, for people watching us on YouTube, please click the subscribe button, like this if you like the video, and please leave a comment as well. We really, really appreciate that. So,
and Killjoy is 8 p.m. on Fridays.
That is important.
Yes.
On space and sci-fi.
That's right.
Perfect. Well, this is PD Beats and Tamsin McDonough signing off for Popturnative. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Thank you for tuning in to Popturnative. Make sure to check out our past episodes of Popturnative on YouTube. Be sure to like Popturnative on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.